In the name of Jesus, amen. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Tony and Kathy and all the rest of the family and friends and other brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel you heard earlier from John 20. Well, what joy that the Lord Jesus Christ has shed his divine blood on the Good Friday cross to atone for the sin of the world, for you, for me, and yes, for Earlene. 1 John 1 says, the blood of Jesus cleanses or purifies us from all sin. And when the Lord put his divine and saving name on Earlene in holy baptism in 1993, the Lord delivered all the benefits of his Good Friday dying to her. In addition, in holy baptism, resurrection and the life, Jesus promised Earlene that her baptism would come to complete and total fulfillment in the resurrection of the body on the last day. Now Earlene waits that magnificent promise as she rests in the Good Friday scarred hands of our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And so do we. We so look forward to a happy reunion in heaven and the resurrection of the body on the last day. No more strokes, no more lung issues, no more pain, no more sin, no more death. Only life eternal with the Holy Trinity, with perfect bodies like our Lord's resurrected body, when Earlene's body will be raised imperishable and immortal, as we heard in the epistle today. Now, in Earlene's earthly life, the Lord Jesus used her among us so well and in so many ways. Because, you know, when you're a faither, when you're a believer, or when you're one of the Lord's hangers-on, one lives sacrificially in love for the sake of other people. And so Earlene loved her husband, her family, her congregation, and her community, just as Jesus loved her. Earlene's sincere kindness and enormous generosity were the Lord's good use of her for our benefit. And for that, we are immensely thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, it is right and it is good to honor Earlene, who has gone before us. We honor her. You want to do that, don't you? I know you do. Yeah, good. So we honor her first by thanking God for her and for all that he accomplished through her. Earlene, together with all the faithful who have gone before us, are in the church's hall of fame, if you will, the heroes of the faith. And again, we are thankful to God for blessing us through Earlene. We honor Earlene also, listen carefully now, we honor her by imitating her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Namely, how she lived as a justified sinner who trusted not in her own holiness and works, but rather in the holiness and Good Friday work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the believers of old would have us look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Earlene would want that as well. And finally, we honor Earlene by imitating her works in our own callings in life. Earlene inspires all of us to greatness, that even though we are great sinners and our works are sadly imperfect, nonetheless, we can be and are instruments in God's hands to serve and to bless others like God did with her. Now, speaking of honoring, thanking, and imitating those who've gone before us, the gospel reading that we heard earlier from John 20 takes us to the garden and the Easter Sunday empty tomb of Jesus, in which another woman, Mary Magdalene, goes to the tomb with the other women to complete the burial of Jesus. They got up early that morning, not to run, not to bike, but rather to buy spices and oils to anoint the corpse. They made their way in the semi-darkness to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw that the tomb had been rolled away. And of course, Mary assumes the worst. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Mary knew what Jesus had told them while he was alive, namely that he would be killed and in 3 days rise again. She knew how to count from Friday to Sunday. But her first impulse is not this: "He is risen! Alleluia!" But rather, "Somebody took the body." Yeah, it's hard to believe this business of resurrection because in our experience in life, we don't see people rise from the dead. Nonetheless, we confess the resurrection of the body every day and every Sunday in the Creed. We believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting because Jesus promised it and because he rose from the dead. So eternal life means life in a body risen from the dead. It is the hope of Job that we heard in the Old Testament reading. "Even though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God." Yet, when we face the death of those we love like Erlene, when we stand at their graves, when we look on row after row of headstones and cemeteries making burial places, we sometimes struggle and we sometimes have a hard time wrapping our brains and our senses around that word, resurrection. Mary Magdalene certainly did. Her dear friend Jesus is dead. He's been crucified. She was there at the foot of the cross until the end, and now his body's gone. It was too much for her to bear. While Peter and John investigate the tomb and see the folded linens, Mary stands outside, her eyes flooded over with tears of grief. Her deep sobs cut through the still, dark morning air. She musters enough courage to look inside the tomb, and there she sees two angels sitting where Jesus' body was. Here on this stone ledge, the sacrifice for the sin of the world had been laid, and the angels look in awe. At this point, Mary doesn't recall that our Lord's promise that he would rise on the third day. You know, that's understandable because, you know, grief has a way of clouding our thinking and our believing. And that's why angels then are sent by God to preach. "Why are you weeping?" the angels ask her. "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Now it's personal. "My Lord," she says. In the midst of her tears and grief, Jesus comes to her. "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" At first, she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener and retells the whole sad story and pleads with him, "You know, if you've taken him, please tell me where you've put him so I can go get him." But he has come to her and he calls her by name, "Mary." And then at the sound of her name, she knows. And tears of joy replace tears of sorrow. "Rabboni," she cries out happily. "My rabbi, my teacher." And she falls to the ground and embraces his feet. She'd lost him once. She wasn't going to let him go again. And that's when Jesus says to her, "Don't keep holding on to me. There's no need to hang on. I'm not going anywhere. I've not yet ascended to the Father. I'll be with you always in ways you can't even imagine yet. But I want you now to go and tell my brothers that I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And so Mary went and told the disciples. Mary, the first eyewitness of the resurrection of our Lord, the first sent one by Jesus to the disciples. Hers are the first human lips to say those glorious, happy words, "I have seen the Lord." And later that day, the disciples would see Jesus. But Mary was the first eyewitness, a woman. Now, perhaps that doesn't mean as much to us today, but in our Lord's day, that was really something. That Mary was a chosen disciple of Jesus and could call him rabbi was already radical. That Jesus should select her to bring the good news to the 12 is just simply off the charts. A woman's testimony, remember, in our Lord's day had no legal standing. Do you remember that? And yet Jesus sends her to say and tell what she has seen. Yes, this poor woman, Mary Magdalene, who had once been plagued by 7 demons, was now privileged to be the first person in the world to speak the good news of Easter morning. And so she has her place in that unique day in history and her place in the Hall of Fame in the church with her sister, Erlene. Now, As we thank God for early in the day, we should also remember to give thanks for Mary Magdalene, the first eyewitness and proclaimer of the resurrection, where she boldly proclaimed the risen Lord Christ to a bunch of men who were predisposed not to believe her testimony because she was a woman. Now, as we remember Erlene's faith in Jesus today, we also remember Mary Magdalene's faith. Her faith was forged by the word of Christ and by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Mary was a sinner, not because she'd once had seven demons, but because she was born a sinner, as Erlene was, as you and I are. Mary's demons were simply a spiritual sickness over which Jesus demonstrated his power, and Mary trusted Jesus who healed her. And in that trust, Mary followed him all the way to the foot of the cross and did not abandon him. As we remember Erlene today, we also remember Mary's works of faith and her devotion, her tears of grief and joy, her happy embrace of the risen Lord Jesus, and the joyous good news the Lord put on her lips. I have seen the Lord! Yes, we number her among the privileged eyewitnesses whose testimony is the foundation of our faith. Mary Magdalene speaks to us today through the words of the gospel, and she declares to all of us, I've seen the Lord. Your mom believed that testimony. And so should all of us. Of course, we, like Erlene, have not seen the Lord as Mary did. That has not been given to us. But we have been given to hear Jesus in his word. We, like Erlene, receive our Lord's absolving words of forgiveness, and we kneel at his table to receive from his hand his own body and blood, that we may embrace him as Mary did that first resurrection day. We have something to tell today and every day of our lives, just like Erlene did. And what is that? It is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that his death atones for all our sin, that his life is now our life, that his glory is our glory, that we believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Why? Because Jesus himself is risen from the dead and now lives and reigns to all eternity. Erlene, who believed in Jesus, will be raised on the last day. Listen again to the epistle. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. What joy that will be, huh? Won't it? It sure will be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.